chapter 10, verse 35 is where we'll be at tonight. Hebrews 10. Verse 35 and 36, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye may receive the promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you that we can walk close with you because of what Christ has done for us. I thank you that the throne of grace is always open for us to run to every moment that we need it, dear God. And we find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And Father, I thank you for that. And therefore, I do ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit, dear God, to help me to minister to your church tonight. I thank you for speaking to our hearts already today in the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour, the morning worship service, dear God. Pray for my dear wife in the nursery tonight. Fill her with your spirit and use her, caring for the children there, for Julia. Help her in that, dear God. And I thank you for your people that are here tonight. Might each one just be comforted and by your presence, and might we be edified tonight. Might the need that we have to, whether it be wisdom or conviction or encouragement or comfort, strength, whatever it might be, healing, Father, as it can glorify your name, Lord, might you just help us and draw us closer to you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for this church, for the love of your Spirit in our hearts that you've put toward one another and toward you. I do thank you and praise you for that. And Father, help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we're looking at verses that people use to say you can lose your salvation. Continuing that thought here tonight. Last week we looked in Hebrews, and we saw in verse 14, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I think that was back in Hebrews chapter 3. We saw that. He was talking about houses there. You know, Moses was faithful over his house. Talking about our profession in Christ. And he said, you know, whose house are we? You know, if we hold the beginning of our confidence, if steadfast unto the end. And we're the house of Christ. And so we want to remember that. I was talking to Brother Austin just to add to that lesson last week. It's interesting to notice that the house there, the house of Moses or the ministry that Moses had, included believers and unbelievers. There were those who believed, Joshua and Caleb, at the river there. There were many who didn't, and what happened to the many who didn't? God purged them out, didn't he? Remember when the Apostle Paul was teaching us through the lessons there on Sunday morning about the church at Corinth? There was much sin in the church, wasn't there? There were sinners in the church. And what did God say? Purge out the leaven, that you may be a whole lump unleavened, And that's what happened in Moses' house. God what? Purged out the leaven, didn't he? He put them out in the wilderness and purged them out. So there was a mixture there. So in a house, there's a mixture there of believers and unbelievers, and so we see that a house can contain false teachers as well as true teachers. We see that in 2 Timothy 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. That doesn't sound good, does it? That sounds like leaven, doesn't it? He goes on to say, and their word will eat as doth a canker. That doesn't sound edifying, does it? Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? This is in 2 Timothy 2. 17 there now, who concerning the truth have erred. These are folks in the church. Saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Even though the church is a mixture, God knows every true believer in the church, okay? And he goes on to write in 2 Timothy 2, the Lord knows them that are his. The Lord, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, what? Depart from iniquity. So if you're a true believer, depart from iniquity. Verse 20 of 2 Timothy 2, but in a what? Great house. There are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So in line with the lesson last week, we're a house of Christ as we hold forth that message, that true, pure message. If the leaven ever gets big enough in the church so that the message going out is no longer that of Christ, though there be some still true believers left in the church, what has happened? Then the house is not a house of Christ anymore, because the message going out from the group as a whole, what? Is not going to bring people into Christ, is it? Even though there may be some scattered believers in the church, which, by the way, if it's come to that point, they ought to be looking for an exit, amen? And looking for a church that, you know, that is preaching the word. But that's just some added information for the lesson last week. So we see that. All right, so they have looked at these verses here in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, and used them to say, you know, that you can lose your salvation. I'm assuming verse 36, if you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So you got to be patient. So after you've been faithful, if you've been faithful, and after you've been faithful, then you'll receive the promise, which they're assuming in their doctrine is eternal life. But in order to do that, you've got to remain faithful and such. So I kind of thought interesting how they swooped down into Hebrews chapter 10 there and plucked those two verses out of there and carried them off to their nest of false doctrine and made them fit in there just fine. It's a good thing they didn't swoop down in Hebrews chapter 10 too soon, because they could have found themselves in a lot of trouble in Hebrews chapter 10 if they swooped down too early to try and get some verses. Let's see here. Let me see. If they'd have swooped down too early and grabbed verse 10, verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of body of Jesus Christ once for all. That wouldn't fit too good in their nest of lose your salvation and false doctrine. By the way, they wouldn't have wanted to grab verse 12, but this man, after he had offered what? One sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. By the way, verse 14 really wouldn't have fit in their nest. For by one offering he hath perfected how long? Forever them that are sanctified. It's a good thing they didn't get into the those, pluck those out of Hebrews chapter 10 too early there. And we see that time and time again. They come in just after a passage we reviewed already in our study. This passage in verse 29 there of Hebrews, talks about if we sin willfully. Verse 26, we talked about that, how that's dealing with believers, and if we choose to sin, what can we look forward to? Chastisement. That's all we can look forward to, and that can be up to what? Physical death. And we saw that God is a judge, and he is a fearful judge. And we looked at in the early church how he, you know, how he chastened some of those people. And so we looked at that. But this writer on this website swoops down, and he goes over that passage, because that's the passage where it says it's impossible if they shall fall away to the renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucify the Son of God of flesh. And the lose your salvation people, they don't ever say you can lose your salvation, you can't be saved again, because that doesn't fit their doctrine. So he didn't swoop down early enough to grab any of that passage there either. But he comes down in here and grabs these two verses here, and we'll look at the context around it and see what we're saying here in what God's saying here in verses 35 and 36 of Hebrews chapter 10. So the portion of the promise being discussed here in the context here is the inheritance in heaven that all believers are guaranteed. Having the writer in Hebrews now, he has warned them of impending judgment for willful sin. That's in the passage right before that. He's warned these believers. What have they done? They had become lazy. They had become lethargic. There was a time they should have been, they ought to have been teachers. They had need again that someone teaching them for what would be the first principles of the oracles of God. And can we start all over again? Can we like get saved again and repent? No, you can't get saved again. All you can do is repent and go on if God lets you. You should have gone on already. God has the right to cut you off right now. And he could do that. So you can go on if God lets you. That's what we saw in those earlier verses. And now he's encouraging them to repent and go on. He believes that God will be merciful, that God will let them. And now he's encouraging them to repent and to go on. Look what he says in back up there in Hebrews 10, verse 32 to grab some of the context. So now he's encouraging them. He's rebuked them. He's saying, you're in danger of even being cut off if God decides to do that. And he has a right to do that. And now he's encouraging them. Okay, I've laid it out in the line. I told you how it is. But now verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. What's that? That's salvation, isn't it? After you're born again, after you're illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Hey, they endured for God. It was a rough time when they got saved. And they bared up under the Holy Spirit in the beginning. You endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. So they were in the company of those that were persecuted for their faith. And they were too when they first got saved. This writer of Hebrews is remembering these things. Verse 34, for he had compassion of me in my bonds. They're ministering to one that's in prison for what? Being a Christian. So what? They're endangering themselves, aren't they? He's saying, I'm trying to encourage you. I want you to remember the boldness the Holy Spirit gave you when you started out. How you did those things, you see. And yet compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. I mean, you didn't have maybe a lot of riches. Maybe they confiscated some of your goods when they found out you're Christians. Maybe you gave them up to help me in prison. And by the way, the Holy Spirit was with you. You did that joyfully. It wasn't grudgingly. You knew the Holy Spirit was working in your life there. Remember these things. You had compassion in my bonds, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Here it is. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. It's a good thing he didn't swoop down and turn and grab that verse, did he? How can you know you have something in heaven if you don't know you're going to be there, okay? Knowing these things, you have a better enduring substance. And then he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of rewards. So actually what he's talking about here, he says, for a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. So, so what he's saying here, then verse 36, you have need of patience after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Actually, here the promise is the great reward hereafter for our labors now. He's not referring to salvation as now salvation is promised. And it does come through a promise. And the promise is what? Through Abraham, the promise given to Abraham. Because ye believed, what? I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless you. We get saved, why? Because we believe. Amen. That's what the promise is based on. It's based on faith. But this is talking about rewards. Remember we saw last week, what do lose your salvation people often miss? Rewards, don't they? They miss this thing about rewards where there is rewards won, rewards lost in heaven. They miss this thing also about, what was the other one we talked about last week? About punishment. That God can punish believers up to physical death. And when the Bible says judgment and condemnation and death, they tack on eternal death to death, you know. And it says reward, they tack on. That's it, must be eternal life. And they seem to have no awareness that the Bible teaches about rewards and about punishments for believers. And this is one of those things. He's talking about rewards here. He says, about the promise of the rewards. He says, remember what you've done. Remember the service you gave in the Holy Spirit. You had compassion to me on bonds. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Knowing in yourselves you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. They knew that what they did in the Holy Spirit, there was what? A reward in heaven for that beyond what they'd done. Amen. And what did Paul say? I suppose that our sufferings right now, we're to be compared with the glory that should follow. You know, it's so great. They're incomparable. What God will reward us for any for service here. So he's talking about those rewards, about that inheritance. Our inheritance includes rewards. Now, I personally believe every believer will receive some rewards. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says, if any man suffer loss, doesn't say all his works were burned up. If he suffer loss, we don't any more detail than that. We see some stuff that was burned up. I think every believer is going to have some rewards of some kind. And God's going to have done something through them that they're going to be rewarded for. There's going to be some inheritance there. But it's talking about rewards. 1 Corinthians 3:14, that standard chapter there in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is, I think, where Dennis was this morning and such, and has been recently anyway, mentioning that and some of those lessons in there. If any man's work abide, 1 Corinthians 3:14, which he hath built thereupon, he shall what? Receive a reward. There are rewards for works for Christians that the Holy Spirit has done through us on the earth. And if any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It goes on there. Peter talks about the same thing, 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again. What's that? That's the new birth, isn't it? That's salvation. He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have an inheritance that is reserved for us. It's not going to fade away. Nobody's ever going to say, well, there was an inheritance for him here, but he didn't make it. So we're going to have to divide this up. This inheritance is gone. No. There's an inheritance for every believer in heaven that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven. So the promise is for the great reward. Look what he says in verse 36 of the context. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What's the promise? Well, they were looking for, knowing in yourselves you have a better and enduring substance. He talks about where was it? He said they have great recompense and reward. I missed that. Verse 35. Thank you. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, our confidence in Christ, no confidence in the flesh, which hath great recompense of reward. That's our talking about our faith. If we labor by faith in Christ, there is a great return. There is a great, God pays us back greatly in a sense, in the way that God wanted to word that there. There's great recompense of reward for those things. And he talks about those things they've done by the Holy Spirit. And so he tells them, ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So they had been saved, and they were doing the will of God. But listen, it's not going to be easy, is it? We're going to have trials. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. It wasn't easy for them to help that brother in jail. It wasn't easy for them to give up of their goods. And they're going to have patience or endurance. Is this vile world a friend of grace to help us on to God? No, it's not. It's not. And so we need that patience. We need that strength to be faithful. By the way, if you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's going to take some patience that we're going to need, isn't it? And by the way, isn't that the great reward we're looking for? And that's not just going to happen. It's going to take some patience for that to happen. And that's what he's saying there. He's saying, you have need of patience, that if you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Because the promise is given as we follow him faithfully. We have those rewards for our labors here in Christ. James kind of talks about the same thing in James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. By the way, look there. Unto the coming of the Lord. James 5, 7. Be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth. Remember, we're gardeners with God. For the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. There is the patience. Until he receive what? The early and latter rain. See, the reward is received what? After long patience, isn't it? Same thing the writer of Hebrews is saying here. We have need of patience, that we might receive that reward. We need that strength from God. Galatians says the same thing. Galatians 6:9. Let's not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap what? If we faint not. If we faint, we need that patience to reap rewards. You know, as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, James said, talking about receiving those rewards in James 5:7, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For ye have need of patience, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. That's that promise for those rewards. For yet a little while, and he that, what? He that shall come will come and will not tarry. By the way, what happens when Christ comes? Judgment seat of Christ. Reward. That's what he's talking about there. Be patient for that reward because he's coming. And in a little while, he that shall, it won't be he that shall come anymore, but he that will come. He that did come. And he's going to come. And so he'll come at just the right time, all right? If he's delaying, Peter says, count the long suffering of our Lord as salvation. He's waiting for another soul to get saved. He's waiting for another Christian to get right with God so there won't be shame when that trumpet blows. There's a reason God's waiting. And don't ever doubt God and doubt his motives. This is dealing with the rewards here and what he's talking about there. And he goes on in verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Sometimes the book of Hebrews is hard to interpret because we mentioned the writer of Hebrews is concerned about two things that are clear, I believe, at times through the book of Hebrews. He's concerned, first of all, number one, that there are Hebrew believers in the church that haven't fully trusted in Christ yet. They're still vacillating. Well, should I leave Judaism and trust this Christ? Should I continue? You know, should I do? There's some that haven't made saving faith yet, but there's also some what that have made saving faith, and they're being tempted. What should I go back to Judaism now to be pleasing to God? There's a double threat there that the writer of Hebrews is facing. And there are different times when he addresses each one. And because he doesn't labor, you know, oftentimes labor death as whether it's eternal or physical, you don't know from the certain verse he's talking about. So it might be hard to tell whether he's talking about somebody being a Christian being judged, a Christian who may already been saved but turned back to Judaism, or a Hebrew who hadn't been saved yet and be condemned. And so the context has to help us out that, the context of the Bible as a whole, and we have to just use discernment there. So we read in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, what is he saying there? Well, what is that word just? Someone who is just is righteous. By the way, it's dikaios, the Greek word. It's the same word translated righteous. Matter of fact, it's translated righteous 41 times in the Bible. It's translated righteous more than it is translated just. 33 times it's translated just, 5 times it's translated right, 2 times it's translated meet. You know, God hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Why? Because we're righteous. We're just. By the way, how did that happen? We are justified what? By faith through in Christ Jesus. The just shall what? Live by faith. How did you become alive? The moment you put your what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Then you were born again, you see. You were justified by faith. You were declared righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness, dikaios, the righteousness of God in him. We are just in him because why? Because we believed in him. And that's the only reason. Only 2 ways you can be just: do all the law or trust in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That's only 2 ways God can look at someone just, and we can't do the first one, okay? Only Jesus Christ did that. So God considers us the just because we have trusted in Jesus Christ. That righteousness that Romans teaches so clearly about. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So our righteousness, what? Is apart from the law. It's apart from obedience to the law of God. And Romans 3:28 concludes, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. By the way, the Bible is very clear. If there's any law that could have saved you, it was the law of Moses. It was obeyed. Any law, don't try to make, well, we have some more, so we have some better, God has some updated New Testament laws. No, he doesn't. He gave the law of perfection. The law of Moses was perfect. And Jesus said, keep all that, God speaks of perfection. And we're not justified by it because we don't keep it all. So we're justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The just shall live by faith. So the just become alive by faith. We are called just because we put our faith in Christ Jesus. But then also, how do we live the Christian life? The same way. It's by faith, isn't it? We've been made alive by faith, and we live by faith. We saw this in our study in Galatians. For in Jesus Christ, Galatians 5:6, neither circumcision of anything, what we do, nor uncircumcision, what we don't do, but what? Faith which worketh by love. The only thing that takes you forward in your Christian life is what? Faith in God and love for God. Only rewards that we receive are those that were done by the motive of love for God and love for others. And that's the Holy Spirit working in us. If I give my body to be burned, and if I do all those things and have not charity, it profiteth me what? Nothing. So there'd be no rewards in heaven for me. Though I did a good work and it wasn't motivated by the love of the Spirit, by faith in God, then it actually might help another person. Maybe I told the gospel just so I could self-righteously tell somebody I shared the gospel. And that person heard it and believed. Guess what happens to them? They got saved. They got profited. And I go to God and say, well, God, see, I told that person about you. And they got saved. God says, so what? You did that for yourself. You did it just so you could say, I told somebody about Jesus. No reward for you. You see that? It's only what's done through the Spirit that we get rewarded for. God's word often profits people. Balaam was a soothsayer in the Bible, and God used him, to speak well of Israel. God used a donkey to speak sense to Balaam. By the way, and so it's going. But if it's going to profit us, it's got to be the Holy Spirit working through us, and us yielding to Him. So we also go forward by faith. Then the writer of Hebrews concludes this chapter 10 with verse 39. by the way, when he's talking about faith, he says, the just shall live by faith. We're trying to encourage these believers in the writing of Hebrews, you got to forsake Judaism. Will not bring you to God for salvation. And by the way,
you who have come to Christ for salvation, you that have been bold enough to take Judaism for that, Judaism won't make you righteous before God either. It won't make, you know, it's doing whatever God tells you to do, but you, it's not the keeping all those feasts and going back to all that. That doesn't make your standing right with God either. It all comes by grace and by faith. And so he's telling them that. And faith is going to take you forward. Well, where do we go now? You trust God. You do what God says. You look at the commandments that are for you today. The law has what? In the writer of the book of Hebrews, it says, now that which is old and ready to decay is what? Ready to vanish away. Jesus said what about the temple? Your house is left unto you desolate. Remember that? Judaism is over. You failed. The law served its purpose. It proved everybody guilty. Now I've come, and I've given you my word, and I've given you my disciples, my New Testament, who have given you the new covenant. Now the things that I say are what you all do. By the way, Jews and Gentiles alike. And that's what is for us today, is you go forward by faith. And by the way, what's the next chapter? Hebrews 13. The heroes of the faith. In case you're doubting what he's saying, let me give you a whole list of people who've gone on by faith, even in the Old Testament. Faith was the key. What he's saying there. So don't think, well, it ain't going to work if it's just by faith. Wait a minute. These all lived by faith. Back here. Everything they did was by faith. Many of them were before the law of Moses even came along, you know. It was by faith then, it's by faith now. And so he's encouraging them how God wants to work through that. Then verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now I believe here he is talking about our eternal, our position as far as salvation goes. What he says is, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Perdition in the Bible always deals with eternal destruction. It always deals with damnation. Judas was the son of what? Perdition. Judas was the son of perdition. Judas was condemned. And the writer of Hebrews says, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We have looked at Jesus Christ, and we have seen the choice. The choice is, for the Hebrew, faith in Christ alone without the law. That's really the only choice. But they were also being tempted what? No, you have to choose Judaism. By the Judaizers. You have to believe Jesus and no. The choice was trust Christ and trust Christ alone. And what the writer is saying there, we here, and of course obviously knowing himself that he's saved, writing the inspiration of the Spirit, he says, we the true believers are not of they who have turned back. I can't just trust Christ alone. I can't throw Judaism away. We're not of that group. We've thrown Judaism away. It won't save us. We're trusting in nothing. None of the feasts, not our circumcision, not our Jewish heritage. We're trusting in us. We are of those who what? Trusted in Christ alone. We're not of those who have turned back unto perdition. No, I just can't do it. It's my heritage. No. Those people, by the way, are what? Condemned. Because they've not trusted in Christ. He says, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that what? Believe to the saving of the soul. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what's going to happen? Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. With a heart, man, what? Believeth unto righteousness. Justification, same word. You're declared just in the eyes of God. But we are of those who, what? Believe to the saving of the soul. No, I'm going to believe and be saved. And that's what he's saying about those there. And so we see that it's easy. It's easy for one to swoop down and pluck a few verses out of here, out from here and there, to fit some doctrine maybe that you've been taught. It's a little harder to study it verse by verse and go through it. Maybe that's why some don't take the time to do it. But we need to be careful to study the Word of God, keep it in context, and know what God is saying to us in the context of the Bible as a whole, in each chapter, each verse, each paragraph, just studying it out, let the Spirit guide us, and being faithful with a faithful study of the Word, and God will lead us and guide us, you know, into all truth. There's no contradiction in Scripture. You know, there's no contradiction. If you come up with a contradiction somewhere, you got a wrong interpretation somewhere, and because the Scripture does not contradict itself. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you've died for us and risen again. And dear Lord, the fact that you have been very clear that we are predestined, every believer is predestined, Romans chapter 8 says, to be conformed to the image of your dear Son, dear God. And Father, we thank you for that. And there's not a verse in the Bible that contradicts that. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for that. I do thank you, and I'm sobered also that you're watching us. Dear God, we are responsible this morning, like we saw, to yield our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto you. It's our reasonable service. And dear God, you are faithful to reward us. You're also faithful to watch us and to teach us and to guide us, to encourage us, to love us, but also to chasten us, dear God, when we need it. And Lord, one day when you come, and it may be soon, we will be before the judgment seat of Christ, and all of our works will be tried, and we'll either, as your word says in 1 Corinthians 3 and other places, we'll either be rewarded or we'll lose rewards, one or the other. We'll either hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or we'll not hear that. It'll be a time of great rejoicing or a time of shame at that moment. We just can't explain those things, but we know, dear God, that they are true. And I pray you'd prepare our hearts that we would be, dear God, faithful to you, and that we might be found looking for your coming. Dear God, that we might be found faithful, not for our salvation. We know, Lord Jesus, it's your scars, it's your blood that has purchased that for us, dear Lord. But we might be found faithful, just as thankful children, as thankful servants, dear God, serving you from the heart and doing the best we can, yearning for that transformation that makes us more like you every day. And God, in so doing, we'll have a full joy, not only in this life, dear God, but also at that meeting. And we know, all of us thereafter, in eternity. And so, Father, we help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.